Song of Song, chapter 3. Have you ever tried making those little balloon shapes like party clowns do with those long, skinny balloons? I thought about bringing one to try to make a heart shape, but I just embarrassed myself because that is not easy to do those things. And I am no good at making shapes out of balloons, even something as simple as a heart shape. However, in an instant, I can turn the heart shapes of my wife's pupils into daggers, just like that. Most guys are pretty good at that, even without any experience at all. Ladies, sooner or later, your knight in shining armor gets tarnished. And that's when loving him gets hard. What will you do, you single gals out there who are dreaming of your knight in shining armor someday, and you think that will never happen? Because when he rides in and sweeps you off your feet, it's going to be a fairy tale princess's dream for as long as you live. Wake up! Okay? Because now is the time for you to get into the Word and plan for what you're going to do when your future husband is hard to love, because he is going to be. We're looking at Trouble in Paradise Part 2, but before we do that, I want to show you two kinds of wives found in the Proverbs, because the Proverbs displays two of them. One is a wife found in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. And a young man is being told, hey, make friends with wisdom. It says in verse 4, say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that wisdom, your sister and your kin, may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For then he says, from the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, that is the naive, the inexperienced. It says, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. He saw a man who maybe she saw this man was a husband, maybe he was single, we're not really told. But this young man was devoid of understanding. Verse 8, he was passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. She wasn't a prostitute, but she dressed like one, seductively, like bait. She says she had a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. Remember, at night. She caught him and kissed him with the impudent face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me today. I've paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I've spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. This is a married woman. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him. He will come home on the appointed day. In other words, no time soon. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a fool goes to the correction of stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. This woman is called in verse 5 strange, means unknown, foreign. This man didn't know her. She's also called a stranger who flatters. That is, she's an immoral woman. Because flattery is not to give, it's to get. In verse 11, she's called loud. That means tumultuous. One who makes trouble. And she's also called rebellious. That is, she stubbornly is undeterred from her ways. She won't stay at home. She won't plant her feet where they're supposed to go. This strange woman who belongs to somebody else is immoral, troublemaking, and rebellious. We're going to call her Mistress Folly. Okay? The word folly comes up a lot in Old English in the King James translation of the Old Testament. And it means foolishness that leads to destruction and death. She's Mistress Folly. Now, I want you to compare her to another woman in the Proverbs. She's known as the Proverb 31 woman. And as soon as I mention her, a lot of ladies groan, "Oh no, don't mention her. She just makes me feel guilty." Ladies, you are missing the point, okay? You are missing something that is there for you in Proverbs 31. That is not something God lords over your head and says, "You will never reach this," so that you can live in guilt. Okay? What he's giving you is an example of you ladies who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, married or not, but you know Christ as your Savior. He's giving you an example to follow, and actually, he's giving you a goal that you can't obtain, most definitely. Verse 31, the chapter 31, verse 10, he says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies." Oh, she's rare, for sure, but she can be you. And again, even if you're not married, this is how you can live your life, ladies. Virtuously, says in verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. She will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. This woman's not afraid to work. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it's yet night. Tells her dumb husband, "You know, the clocks are supposed to change a day. My wife spared me on that one." She provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. In other words, this woman makes choices. And wise ones at that. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds a spindle. Again, she works. She reaches out, she extends her hand to the poor. She's considerate. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She may not be rich, but she makes most of what she has, and her family is blessed because of it. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. In other words, this woman makes her husband look good. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. My sister-in-law, Naomi's sister, Catherine, her husband's a pastor. They never had a lot of money. When eBay first came out, she became an ace. She sold so much on it. She'd go to the thrift store, buy stuff at the thrift store, turn around on eBay, make a profit. She supplemented their income, helped put her kids through college. To strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, maybe they don't do that when they're little kids. But give them time, people. They grow up. They make you proud. Says her husband also, and he praises her. He's no dummy. The many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman, notice, who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. See, that's what makes this woman so virtuous. She fears Christ. You can do that. This woman is called virtuous, trustworthy by her husband. She's called industrious, considerate, perceptive, wise, and watchful. All of this because of one primary trait found in verse 30. She fears the Lord. We're going to call her Lady Wisdom. How about that? Okay? This is Lady Wisdom versus Mistress Folly. And I suggest to you that the woman, the Shulamite woman of the song, is a Lady Wisdom and not a Mistress Folly. So let's go back to the song and take a look at chapter 3. We're just going to look at 5 verses. Remember, this is Trouble in Paradise Part 2. Go back a few weeks. Part 1 was when those little jackals get into the marriage. Little jackals that get into a garden and cause all kinds of upheaval and disrupt things. Much of what we looked at so far was the man's responsibility in dealing with jackals, right? He's supposed to keep those jackals out. Well, in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we see a shift in attention here. The shift goes to the wife and her role in putting out jackals, even jackals that she didn't let in. But she's the one that puts them out. Here is a case where it is the husband who has let the trouble in, but the wife steps it up. And as a lady of wisdom, she puts him out. Every wife will reach this point in her marriage when, because of her husband's doings, she has to make a choice. She's either going to be a mistress folly, or she's going to be a lady wisdom. Well, the Shulamite woman shows you what a lady wisdom does when her husband lets in a jackal. What was the jackal? Well, take a look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, she's speaking. She says, "By night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him." First of all, the jackal is distance. Remember, that's one of the things that gets in a marriage. Distance. He is not where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be in bed with her, and he's not there. She calls him the one I love. Some translations say the one that my soul loves. That's different from what she called him in chapter 1, verse 13. When she called him her beloved, that comes up a lot in chapter 1 and even chapter 2. She keeps calling her husband her beloved. Some translations accurately translate the word her lover, because she was talking about her lover, the one that she just loves to be intimate with. Right? But that's not the word she uses here. Even though she's in bed, he's not there. She calls him the one my soul loves. See, this word goes beyond physical intimacy. This one describes the one whom she has given herself completely over to the day she married him. Her body, her soul, her spirit, everything. This is the type of love that women who sleep around never get to experience with men. They haven't given themselves over. They just taken. She said, no, no, no. Whether we have physical intimacy or not, this is the one who has me completely, all of me. This is the one I love. See, this is how God so loved the world. He gave himself completely over to you. Everything on that cross. Young people, this is the love that you can have. You gotta wait for it. This is in the Lord's timing for the one that you give yourself over to completely. You don't do that in a one-night fling. Now, he is not in her bed, which is also his bed, and he's supposed to be there. Where is he? Well, we're not told why he's not there. We're told where he's at, but why? Why is he gone? We don't know. But somehow a jackal got into this vineyard for sure. So what does a lady wisdom do? Well, let's take a look. First of all, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, she says, I sought him, but I did not find him. First of all, lady wisdom seeks the one she loves. She seeks him. In fact, three times in this section, she says, I sought him. Now, she is most likely not too happy with him, but he's not where he's supposed to be. Did they get into it? Did they have one of those lover's quarrels? Quite possibly. Happens to the best of them. We're not sure. But she's most likely not happy with him because he's not here now. But rather than turn to fuming, she turns to searching. You notice that? See, that's a very Christ-like thing to do. When Jesus' sheep wander off, he had 100 of them being right where they're supposed to be, and one of them wanders off, rebelliously doing his own thing, and what does Jesus do? He goes after them. And that's what she does. She goes seeking. She chooses to show more concern than anger. See, the foolish wife in this situation maybe gets angry and leaves. The spiritual wife stays and prays, but the spiritual and wise wife prays and goes. She does something about it. She can go find her man. And not only does she seek him, look at verse 2. She says, I will rise now, I said, and go. She seeks him, number 2, with great effort. She got to get dressed. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you were all ready for bed, and then you got a phone call, or something like this came up, or you got a call from one of the kids, or maybe your spouse, or something came up, and you got to get your clothes back on and go maybe back out into the weather to deal with something. Loving those who are hard to love is inconvenient at best. But she's going to do it. She doesn't only seek him with great effort. It says also in verse 2, She says, I will go about the city, in the streets, in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. Going out into the city square at night, a woman by herself, she didn't only seek him at great effort, she seeks him at great risk. What is out on the streets at night? Riffraff, including Mistress Folly. She was out there at night too, okay? Looking for a man. The difference is Mistress Folly is looking for a man who isn't hers in order to destroy, whereas Lady Wisdom is looking for her man in order to restore. One is loving, one is foolish. But loving people is risky business, folks. You stick your neck out when you love people. And you get hurt. And when you're married, you stick your neck out for the one you love. You've given yourself over completely for this individual, and you're going to get hurt at times. That's right. We are sinful creatures, and we hurt each other. But love takes the risk. And not only that, look at verse 3. The watchmen who go about the city found me. These would have been like government officials, what we would consider the police. Okay, they were soldiers. They were armed. They were basically walking a beat at night, making sure everything is cool and the way things are supposed to be. It says the watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, "Have you found the one I love?" She approaches them boldly. They didn't give her any problem because she's not causing any problems. They're doing what government's supposed to do. It doesn't bear the sword in vain. But if you do well, hey, you got no problems with the government that's doing its job. They're doing their job, and she has no reason to fear them. But did you notice what she did? She didn't just seek with great effort and seek at great risk. She seeks her husband by asking for help. See, now they're aware of her trouble. She doesn't care. We try so hard to keep others from knowing our problems, and we don't ask help when we should. And there's going to be times when you're loving somebody so deeply, and you need help to know what to do next. She asked for that help because it was important to her that somebody knows her problems and that she finds solutions. Now, I tell young couples in premarital counseling, I say if you really pay attention to premarital counseling, and not all do, but I say if you really do, and you apply these principles to your marriage, you probably will never need marital counseling. Probably. But even if you do, do not be afraid to get it. Your relationship to each other is too important to let pride try to keep this to yourselves and wade through a swamp that is over your head when you need help. Now, I don't necessarily recommend your parents for marital counselors, okay? It's real hard for mom and dad to be partial. It really is, okay? In my case, you know, if I were to leave Naomi, my mom and dad would say, don't come home, but she's welcome here anytime. Okay? But it can be really hard for mom and dad to be partial. Some people are afraid to go to their pastor. They don't want their pastor to know all their problems. I can tell you right now, no couple is ever going to tell me anything that will shock me at this point in the game. However, I understand. I hope you are at least willing to ask for a reference. I can recommend biblical Christian counselors that can help you if you've gotten in over your head in your marriage. Don't be afraid to let me know you're having trouble. Okay? She wasn't. She wasn't afraid to do that. She asked for help. You don't only have counselors in spiritual leadership in your life. You might have some spiritual counsel in your peers, your friends, those around you. It's amazing how people have gone through what you're going through. It happens a lot. But she sought help. Okay? And then she did find him. Take a look at verse 4. It says, scarcely had I passed by them, by those watchmen, when I found the one I love. Found him before he got himself in real trouble. She says, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. Brought him back home where he belongs. What did she do? Finally, when she found him, she seized him. And she would not. He would have had to peel this woman off of him. When your husband is off, or he's not supposed to do ladies, you probably want to seize him by the throat. And that's understandable. But remember, love and not anger is driving this woman. This kind of love doesn't come easy, which is why Paul said that the mature wives should teach the younger wives how to love their husbands. That's why he said that. He said, because you young wives, you know, those pupils of yours will turn into daggers sometime sooner than later, and you're going to want to grab him by the throat. And it takes a mature wife to come along and say, here's a better way. The Shulamite is Lady Wisdom. She's a mature wife. And she's telling you, here's a better way. See, Mistress Folly also wanted to seize this young man in order to hurt him. Lady Wisdom seized him to save him. Consider again Mistress Folly in Proverbs 7. She's like a harlot in the way she dresses. She has a crafty heart. She's loud. She's stubborn. She does not stay at home. She's in the streets and the open squares at night, hunting like a predator. And when she finds her prey, she seizes him with seductive kisses. She takes him back to her house for what she wants. She destroys him in the process. Girls, you live in a sexualized society that celebrates Mistress Folly. Do you know that? In this society, Mistress Folly is the unsung hero, whereas Lady Wisdom is the prude. Young ladies, you will sleep at night if you choose the route of the prude and you be Lady Wisdom. You will sleep with a clear conscience. You'll have something to offer to your husband one day. You'll have something to offer as a woman of Christ, whether you're married or not. You will live a life that exemplifies the Lord and not the world. Now, Mistress Folly can, of course, be an individual woman in any man's life, that's for sure. But Mistress Folly can also present herself in various forms, such as pornography, which does all the same things to a man that Mistress Folly does. Can also present herself by means that are in and of themselves not wrong, but still destroy a man if he so lets it. Things like sports, hobbies, passions, interests, work, even ministries. Do you know that? I've known of ministers who have allowed the ministry to steal them away from their wives. We were told in theology class, pastoral theology class, when I was a Bible college student, by our professor, who was very wise, and he said, men, if you lose your family because of the ministry, you're going to lose your ministry too. And I have seen that happen. I've seen men lose their ministry and their family in the process. Of course, the ministry and your work and your sports and your hobbies, those things are not necessarily out to destroy you like Mistress Folly is, but the end result will be exactly the same if you let it. I knew an old widow. Once she was a godly old woman. Her husband had been gone for many years. I was just a young man, single. She told me once, she said, she and her husband are younger, they got into it. He got mad, he was fuming. He threatened to leave, give up on the marriage. He's going to leave. And she said, that's fine. You can leave if you want to, but you better know this. I'm coming with you. She and that man lived a long, happy marriage till the Lord took him home. Yes, ladies, when these jackals get into your marriage and knocks your man off of his horse, you are the one to help him get back on. You better than anyone else. Do you know that? He falls into pornography, you are going to be his best ally to help him beat that, get over that, get back where he belongs. He starts getting pulled away to work and spends way more hours than he should be. You are the one who's going to be better than anybody else, better than his best friend, his pastor, anybody. You're the one to help him get back to where he belongs, to the one he loves. Now, some of you wives are maybe glaring at me and saying, boy, this puts an awful lot on me. What about him? What about his responsibility? And ladies, you are absolutely right. Sometimes you are hard to love too. That's right. You remember Hosea? Hosea was a very faithful prophet. And his wife left him to chase after a life of prostitution. See, unlike so many men who leave their wives for a prostitute, she left her husband to be a prostitute. And God said to Hosea, you go get her and you bring her back. And he had to be gentleman wisdom. And he had to go get her, swallow his pride. You know, a lot of men would say, enough of that. That's the life she wants. She wants those other men. When I have so much more, she can have. And he went, he got her. He brought her back and he lived a happily married life because he offered forgiveness and restoration. I wonder if the reason God emphasizes the woman's role in helping her man here in the song is simply because it is the husband who so often does wander, more so than the wives. It just seems that way. And so, ladies, the burden is put on you more often than on him to help him get back on his horse and be where he is supposed to be. And then verse 5, here it is again. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, you who don't have husbands yet, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Not this kind of love. There again, ladies, this kind of love that you want for a man, you must not awaken until you have a man in marriage. But until then, you fear God, you become a woman who will in fact be Lady Wisdom, married or not. Because sooner or later, you find yourself with a husband, that man of yours, you're going to be hard to love. Father, we just ask that as we consider the communion table, we remember that in this case, we are the bride, and we tend to wander. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who on the cross made it so that we have eternal life. Not only the joy of looking into the future. Thank you, God, for the confidence we have in the present. Thank you for going after us when we stray, putting us back on the horse where we can walk with you. Thank you for the wonderful accomplishment of the cross. May we not walk away from the cross. May we live in its shadow day in and day out until we stand in the light of Jesus Christ in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.